Just all stand. It is so great to have Brother and Sister Thompson here. We spoke on Wednesday night. Yes, go ahead. Give. We spoke on Wednesday night about how God is positioning our church, how God is positioning each and every one of us, but then also how God is moving people into our midst from the outside to assist us and help us to get to where God is desiring to take us. And Brother and Sister Thompson are one of those couples as well. And it is such an honor to have them here. We love them. We appreciate them. Come preach to us this morning, brother.
Much. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Grant. And so good to see Elder Brother Grant here this morning. God bless you. And Brother Caskey, Sister Caskey, amen. And all of you, and all of those who are in our class over Friday and Saturday, good to see you again and to be with the saints of God here. We are humbled by the opportunity to be with you and very grateful. Amen. And I do believe that the Lord's given me a thought and a direction for us today. And let's pray and ask God to minister to us. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, this morning. We pray, Lord, in thy name, O God, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to understand and to receive your word, O God, today. And I pray, O Lord Jesus, O God, that through your word, O God, that you will accomplish something in every single heart that is here. We're asking for the supernatural, Lord, that you would have an impartation into us that would change us, that as, Lord, has already been said, that we would not leave the same way we came. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you also will do a work that the word that goes forth will forever be implanted in the heart of the hearers, Lord, that they can forget the carrier of the word, but never forget the word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. I'm going to jump right into the word this morning. If you can turn in your Bibles to St. John chapter 12, verses 31 through 33. St. John chapter 12. Amen. The scripture says, now is the judgment of this world. He says, now is the judgment of this world. Is that my positioning? It's making the popping sound. I'm trying to hold still. Okay. Otherwise, if we have to, I can take this off. It says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now, that first verse, verse 31 again, now means immediate. God does not need a progression, but he has all power. And today there can be an immediate impartation. He said now, or immediate, is the judgment of this world. World meaning not necessarily the globe, but literally in the Greek it is cosmos. Now is the judgment of this cosmos, or this world. Now shall the prince, the ruler of this world, or this cosmos, be cast out. What is the factor, what is the pivot point that brings us to the now? The judgment of this world. The pivot point, he says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. Jesus promised that after payment of death by crucifixion, Satan would...
Test. There we go. Jesus promised that after payment of death by crucifixion, Satan would be cast out. Literally means to expel, to eject, to drive out. Stripped of all authority. So Jesus promised that after the payment of his death by crucifixion, this would take place. When a power greater than the power that was ruling the world came onto the scene at the point of resurrection, was the day that the powers of Lucifer and Satan lost their hold on earth. He said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, he spoke that before his crucifixion, prophetically, letting them know that when this happens, this is the turning point of all things. Not just his death, because all men die. Not just his burial, because we're all buried. But because of his resurrection, because no one has ever self-resurrected from the dead. Because he is the prince of life, which means source of life. How can you kill the source of life? They thought they could. They didn't understand who he was. And so when they nailed him to a tree, not understanding he was the very source of life, and buried him and sealed the tomb with Roman soldiers, the biggest, baddest that they could possibly gather together, still could not stop Jesus from rising from the dead, rolling away the stone and leaving that tomb. That was an overwhelming, earthquake-shattering experience, because at that very moment, the very earth became violent and shook. A tremendous earthquake happened at that precise time. And the guards who were there, seeing the earthquake and everything was experiencing and the stone rolling away, fell as though they were dead. And these are the biggest, baddest, strongest, most fierce soldiers alive in the world. They fell trembling because Jesus came back to life. When the power greater than Satan is unleashed into the world, then Jesus would draw all men to himself. Draw is, in that Greek, is a strong attraction power. Pull with force. In the Greek, it can be used to describe magnetic attraction. James, if you could please come up. James Novak, if you can please come up. I have a couple of magnets here. Can you read what it says right there?
Lifts up to Leventa hasta put sostenia just a magnetic shield 100 pounds.
Okay. Lifts up to 100 pounds. That makes these heavy-duty magnets. Okay. I got two of these, so maybe I can lift you.
Probably.
<Come on. laughs>
So we have to take the shields off. So if you can make sure that everybody watches you and can see you. Thank you. If you would just quickly, or not quickly, but slowly draw them together. But don't let them touch, of course. Okay. A little closer. Now you cheated. You twisted them. Now, without twisting. Come on. All right. Very good. You sense that's only magnets to pick up 100 pounds. When Jesus Christ rose, he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto you." When you came into this room today and you began to hear the music going, something started pulling at your heart. Because inside, there's another force. But whenever, and it was in every song that was sung, whenever Jesus enters into the scene, depression has to go. Whenever Jesus enters into the scene, sickness has got to go. Because there's a greater force. There's a greater magnetic force, so to speak, a greater power in this room than anything else. But that power and that force, you know, hold him just for a second yet. That power and that force, he has chosen. There's no power in this world greater than the power of this force. I want you to think about the magnetic field. Magnetic field just off the North Pole is where the magnetic field is. One of the most powerful forces that there is, that we have to have super jet powers to propel rockets to get it out of the gravitational pull into the outer atmosphere. But he created that power. Matter of fact, I have a compass with me this morning. And a compass has a pin. We're probably all familiar with the compass. Has a pin that's suspended. And how I know what is north is this pin is a magnet. But because the magnetic force on the North Pole, thousands of miles from here, is reaching where I am in Madison, Wisconsin, and this magnet that is suspended in this compass is weaker than the magnet at the North Pole. And the weaker always turns to the stronger, to the greater. So as we're here, this magnet is spinning in response to a pull that you cannot see. As you came into this place and you wondered, what am I feeling? It isn't spiritual hocus pocus. What you're feeling is you're feeling a pull of a divine
power that's reaching into your heart, that is challenging who is King and Lord in your life, because he realizes your brokenness and your hurt, and his desire is to overpower and to cast out and to say, when you will, he's not going to force it. Even though he's the greatest power, the greatest force in the world, he will not override your human will. He can, but he chooses not to do that. He's willing that everyone would come unto him and that no one would eternally perish. That we would all come to repentance. But he's not going to take that magnet and just suck you and pull you. You've got to make a choice, and your human will becomes a shield that is so powerful that can stop that if you choose to stop that. But I'm here to say and tell you today, you've tried to live on your own. You've tried to be your own Lord. You've tried to be your own God. You've tried to do it your own way. And really, look at the results. Are you happy? Has it got you where you are? I'm here to tell you, I thank God that there was a point in time when I made a choice, where James made a choice. Because that's right, we'll cheat. Okay. When mine's upside down, so now what we have is we have, instead of a negative and a positive, we've got two positives working. We absolutely can't get it to touch. Because if you think you're positive, and you think you got the power, it's always going to repel. But what's got to happen is we have to come to a place where we realize that although I think I have power, I cannot save myself. And there has to be a turning, a repentance. And when that happens, we are opening up our heart to a draw. I am asking today, what you have experienced and what you've already felt in this service, would you remove the shield? I can't through eloquence. I can't through charisma. I cannot remove your shield. Neither can God. But if you'll simply turn, he will begin to do a work in you that I want you to help you understand this morning that will forever change you. Because there will come a power into your life more powerful than the gravitational pull of North Pole. Supernatural power when you're born again. You can be seated for a few moments. So Satan's negative power is overcome by Jesus Christ. And the force of the presence and the power of Jesus Christ, that magnetic attraction, not only does it pull our hearts, but it casts out the prince. He no longer can possess and control, because a greater force and power than he has come and taken residence. After his crucifixion, his burial and resurrection, and just before his ascension, Jesus commanded his disciples, "Behold," Luke chapter 24, verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued, clothed, cloaked, with power, dynamin, from which we get our term dynamite,
In the Greek, it's dynamin, force, especially miraculous power. You're going to be endued with power from on high. Is there anyone here who's experienced that electrical charge of his presence entering into their heart and their life? Amen. You see hands going up across this. The same writer, Luke, in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, verses 4 and verse 8, says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But he says, wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you've heard of me. John truly baptized. John truly submerged with water. But you shall be submerged with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Verse number 8. "But you shall receive power." In this case, it's dunamis. Same root Greek word. Miraculous power, might, strength, force, and energy. But that power is inherent not within you, but within the Spirit of Jesus Christ who comes into you. It is not I, Paul said, it is Christ in me. He was doing signs, wonders, and miracles. They began to bow down to him as though he was a god. He said, stop, stop. This is not me. I can't do that. But you have to understand, what you feel emanating out of me is not of me, but it's something that is powerful that's within inside of me. And he said, when he talked to his disciples, go back and wait, and you shall be endued, clothed. You're going to receive a power from on high, more power than anything this world can experience. You can experience it. Every single one of us in this room have the opportunity to experience it, but not only experience, but to understand he didn't give it to us just simply for our own experiences, grand as that is. But once that supernatural power begins to inhabit our hearts, that power then begins to emanate out of our hearts. And it is like as if we have the magnet. It isn't me. And I want you to bear with me and understand what I'm trying to say. But there's something that goes out of me. And it goes out. And as you walk on the job and you're going down the street, people are looking. There's something that's happening. Something that's pulling. It's not my charisma. It's not my personality. It's not the clothes that I wear. But I got a hold of something. And you've got a hold of something that the Lord wants you to wake up to what you have within you that is drawing people's hearts. What happens is you come out of Sunday night service and you walk into the restaurant. And when you walk into the restaurant, everybody in the restaurant turns and looks. They don't turn and look at everybody who comes into that restaurant. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's got a witness. They don't know why. It's subconscious to them. But there's a force that's affecting them that they don't know. Their head pivots on their neck, not even knowing why it pivots. But you need to understand why it pivots. It isn't you. It's not how you're dressed. It's not how your hair is done. There's something bigger and more wonderful than that. It's not the shoes that you're wearing. It's none of those things. But there's something that's within you that is reaching out. And they're saying, I'm the weaker. I'm the weaker. And I'm feeling something stronger in this room that makes me pivot. Makes me turn just like the pin on a compass. They're saying, there's something that is true north. And I don't have true north. And what happens is that they begin to turn. And look, here's another example. Maybe you sit down at a park bench, or maybe you just start chatting to the clerk. And all of a sudden, they're spilling their guts. You say, do you spill your guts to everybody you meet? No. They don't even know why they're spilling their guts. My wife and I were in Nepal, and if I've told this story before, forgive me. But it's a Hindu state. It's the religion of the nation. So we were told when you're there, you're a tourist. Doesn't matter what anybody asks you, you always say, I'm a tourist. So that's what we did. We landed in the capital, and we were flying to hold seminars in a jungle down near the Indian border. And we had to fly to a city called Nepalganj. And I suppose this is very politically incorrect, and I don't mean it in a negative way, but it really could have been called Nepal Grunge. I mean, we're talking about, you don't fly to Nepalganj as a tourist. You're talking about dirty, filthy, third, fourth, fifth world on the Indian border, very poor area, and we're going to travel from there into the jungles. But in order to get to our flight, we had to ride a bus across the tarmac out to a place on the tarmac where the plane was, and then we'd have to disembark the bus, walk across the safety area and up into the airplane. So my wife and I were the last people to get on the bus. And so we get on the bus and sitting right in the very front or second seat. I don't recall. But it was right up front. He was standing in front. This man turns and says in perfect English, "Who are you and where are you going?" "I am a tourist, and I'm going to Nepalganj to visit some friends." "Oh, you are. Who are your friends in Nepalganj?" I said, "Well, his name is Bobby Adhikari." "I don't know anybody by that name in Nepalganj." And he kept pressing and pressing. And I keep telling him, "I'm just a tourist." He said, "So what does he do?" I said, "Well, he runs an orphanage." And he said, "What's the name of the orphanage?" So I'm sorry, right now I can't recall the name of it, but he's going to meet me there. He said, "I'm not familiar with any orphanages in Nepalganj. You know, what are you here for?" And, you know, we're tourists, you know. And he finally says, "Are you a minister of the gospel?" What am I going to say? "No, I'm a tourist." I said, "Yes, I am," not knowing what that would mean. And he said, "The moment you and your wife stepped onto this bus, something spoke to me and said, that man is coming to your city, and he's a minister of the gospel, and he has something for you." I did not know that his grandfather was the high priest of the entire nation. It's a caste system. The highest man underneath the king was his grandfather. His grandfather, the high priest of the nation of Nepal, found himself disillusioned with his religion. And while walking down the streets of the capital, he saw a piece of paper tumbling across the street, and he picked it up, and it was a tract. And the high priest of the nation of Nepal received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When they found out that he had received it, they confiscated his house, all of his property. They kicked him out. They stripped him of his status. He went from the very highest to the very lowest, and he became the lowest of farmers. From the very highest, he went to the bottom of the caste system. They kicked him out, and they sent him to the worst, lowest area, Nepalganj. And he began to minister about his experience. And here, this man on that airplane or on that bus to board that airplane was a pastor of 37 churches. And we met in a hotel, and I got to share with him the oneness of God in Jesus' name baptism. Oh, that's you. No, it's you. It's you. It's you. There's something in the Spirit that is reaching. Not just the pastor. Every single Holy Ghost-filled person. You shall be witnesses. And we think that witness is what we speak with our mouth, and I'm not saying that's not part of it. But the biggest witness you have is what is inside of you that emanates out of you. That the world may not understand and even be able to put their words to. But it is a witness that is reaching to everybody that's around about you. So I'm here to announce, I am a witness that because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus bound, dethroned, and cast out the strong man in my life and spoiled his house. And I became the recipient of the power of that magnetic force that drew me. Now that dwells within me. It is not because I'm somebody. He gave it to me as a gift. He gave me his power. I have a measure of Jesus Christ. I have a measure of the Creator within me. You can have a measure of the Creator within you. So that's because I chose at some point in time to surrender and allow him to dethrone the king of my life and to fill me with his Spirit. And when it happened, I was clothed with his power. You see, what I'm talking about today, darkness does not want you to know. You do not understand the threat you are to the kingdom of darkness. And he sent me here today to talk to every Holy Ghost-filled person and anyone who does not have this experience. Do not leave without this power. Just open up to that draw that you felt. Let it happen to you today. But he wants you to know the darkness wants to keep you blinded to what you possess. And what happens is that when people begin to talk to you and start to share, what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to say, can I pray with you? Can we just, right here, right now? Well, wait a minute, I can't do that. We're in public. It doesn't matter. If they're moving and something is drawn on them, would you put your pride aside and let enough of the Jesus that came with inside of you move you enough so that if they're already being drawn and they're already coming towards you and they're beginning to spill their guts and you sit there and out of pride, you then shield your own self and you don't respond. You've done a disservice to someone who was hungry, whose compass was spinning and saying, there's something that you've got that I want that causing me to say what I'm going to say. And then you yourself turn and walk away and don't use the opportunity that God put in your heart. And he's telling this church today, I want you to wake up to what you have and start exercising every opportunity that I give you. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, the last half of the verse. He said, the gift of the grace of God given to me. It's only by the grace of God. And I want to go back to something I forgot to mention. I talked about the two positives, create resistance. Two negatives also create resistance. It takes a positive and a negative. So you're sitting here to say, well, I'm not worthy of God. If you just know what I've done in the last month, how in the world would God ever have anything to do with me? You're in the right position. Because it takes a positive and a negative. He doesn't see the negative as a negative. He sees it as an opportunity. Because as long as you think you're positive, it can't happen. And as long as you are happy being negative, he can't do it. But when you humbly come to the understanding that my life is negative, I'm in a terrible condition, he's saying, now. So if you're here today and that's the position of your heart, you're in perfect place to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Paul calls it the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Effective working in the original Greek is one word translated into two in English, effective working. But in Greek, it's energia, from which we get our word energy. He says it was a gift of grace, this energy that keeps working in me. Would you say that about yourself today? This is a gift of grace. This energy that's working in me. It's not only working in me for me, but he didn't just give it for me. Such power working in us actually is nothing less than the presence of God himself, the creator of the universe. It has been so ever since the fulfillment of Christ's promise when he told his disciples, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This remarkable power of God is thus imparted to us and energized in us by the Holy Spirit with such a resource of unlimited spiritual power we're working within us. God is able indeed to accomplish far more than we can ever imagine. But if we will understand what's being preached today and accept it, the city and the county of Dan County and the city of Madison will be turned upside down. Peter confirms, he says, but you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You do not need to call anybody. So here I am, Pastor Roy. I'm at the grocery store and this lady's spilling her guts. Can you come over here and help her? Why do you think they're spilling the guts to you? Because you are totally equipped with everything that's necessary. I'm here to tell you, if you just simply say, sir, can we pray? I've never had him, maybe only once or twice ever, say no. They'll say yes. And you begin to pray, man or woman, tears, just right in public, it doesn't matter. I've seen them on kneeling in the floor of St. Mary's Hospital in Rochester. They didn't care if the whole vestibule was filled with people weeping, because you have what they're looking for. Now, some of you aren't convinced. I'll try to convince you in the next 30 minutes. Whoops, I got a whole bunch of microphones here. It's good that I didn't turn this and dump these expensive microphones. All right. First of all, the Bible says these signs in Mark chapter 16 shall follow them that believe. Is there any believers in the house? Is there any believers in the house? Okay, you just made a commitment. I appreciate that. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they're going to cast out devils. Oh, no, 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 no. If there's devils around, I'll have to call a pastor.
If there's a devil that's being confronted where you are, you're the one who's called on at that moment to step forward and say in the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. And they have to go because the power that's inside of you will expel them because you've got the power. He's already been expelled out of your life. Now you've got the authority to expel it out of somebody else's. Not because of who you are, but because of the authority that dwells within you. And he goes on, he says, in my name they'll cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. That happened to Paul. He was picking up sticks while he was on the island, shipwrecked, put him into the fire, a venomous snake, come up out of that fire and latched onto his hand. Paul undoubtedly couldn't recognize he wasn't from that island. But everybody that was around about knew exactly what happened. They were all watching the sundial because they knew in X number of minutes that man drop over dead. And when they watched and the sundial moved and he didn't drop over dead, they start saying, you must be a god. But herein, with his power within us, we can never, ever, ever, ever think it is us. And in a few minutes, the king, the chief of the island, was healed. His family was healed. Miracles, signs, and wonders happened throughout. I'm going to continue on to hasten because I do want to get to my demonstration here. And it goes on, it says, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They, referring back to the believers, shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If there's someone in your home with a fever, the very first thing that ought to happen and come to your mind is that we have the authority in this home. And Father, it ought to be you who's speaking and saying, right now, let's gather together as a family and let's pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We have seen it time and time again in our own home where sickness goes because we don't have to wait and call somebody else. We've got the Holy Ghost. We can do it right where we are. We can take that authority. So he says, these hands, and I want you to lift up your hands today. These hands shall lay upon the sick and they shall recover. I need my hands free for the last half of this, but we'll see if we can do it. I want you to understand, everything in the universe is made up of electrical particles. Every molecule, the air we breathe, the water that we drink, the food that we eat. All substance, all matter are molecular compositions. As I've stated, the earth is a magnet. It has its own magnetic field, the north and the south poles. And that magnet interacts with all other magnets. The presence of this field is what causes, as I said, the compass to rotate so it takes and points to North Pole. The weaker always responds to the greater. The title of my message today is The Holy Ghost Advantage. Because the weaker always responds to the greater. Every heartbeat is a completion of an electrical circuit. If your heart begins to fail, they have to put a pacemaker in. What does the pacemaker do? It regulates the heartbeat of electricity to keep your heart going. Everything about us is electromagnetic. And when it beats, the electromagnetic waves from your heart go through the blood vessels of the body, and they stimulate tissue at the very cellular level. Every cell in your body has its own electromagnetic field. Nothing happens in the body without an electromagnetic exchange between cells. In fact, all intracellular activity and all intercellular communication happens via bioelectrical signals and electromagnetic fields. These natural electromagnetic fields help regulate important biochemical processes of all kinds, maintaining in those cellular electromagnetic fields is crucial. Maintaining balance in those electromagnetic fields is crucial to your physical health. God put the electromagnetic field as part of our every tissue. Every organ has its own field. Listen to this, to those especially who are in leadership. Every organ has its own field, and each works together for the greater whole. So you have in your body all these electromagnetic fields working. Every organ has its electromagnetic field. But all of these fields are working simultaneously, because each cell has the same DNA, is working for only one cause and one purpose. And it's not just for the eye to be the eye or the heart to be the heart, but because of the bigger, broader picture of the body of Christ. So they work in harmony as each one is in operation simultaneously. The EKG measures, which is the electrocardiogram, measures the electromagnetic activity of the heart. The electroencephalograph, the EEG, measures the electromagnetic activity of the brain. The magnetic resonance image, MRI, scans patients to determine the severity of certain injuries by using a magnetic field and radio waves to create detailed images of the body. And how they can do that is if there's damage on a cellular level, the cell that is damaged has a weaker electromagnetic field than the healthy cell. Amazing. So they can take a picture and they can see there's a spot that comes up when we do this. It says there's a weakness there. There must have been a heart attack. There must be damage there. Science is using this to help us uncover things. It's amazing. Matter of fact, when we really get exhausted and tired, do you know what we say? I don't have any energy. Do you know you're speaking the truth? What you're saying is your energy is weaker. And that's why you're saying, I have no energy, because you have exhausted and haven't kept the balance to keep the homeostatic state within you for the strength. So our bodies are masses of controlled electromagnetic fields. When these fields are disturbed by a stronger interfering energy, the normal flow of electrical energy vital to the body's homeostatic balanced state is altered. Thus, the electrical system of the entire body is affected. That's why the Bible says if one member suffers, they all suffer. And each of us has an electromagnetic field that actually emanates from your body. Today, they have instruments that can pick up your electrical field up to 15 feet away. I'm here to tell you that your impact and what's going out of you with the power of the Holy Ghost goes a whole lot further than 15 feet. All right, let's have the Novaks come to the front. Plural. I'm not sure these shoes will fit. So your electrical magnetic field emanates from the area of your heart, this area of your body. What we have is we have a set of tennis shoes here, and I can't see that side. Is it lighting up? Okay. What happens is that there is a battery that's implanted in the heel of the shoe, so that when you walk, and a little thin bit of metal bounces, it's like a spring, and allows their
that electricity from the mat, from that little tiny battery in your shoe to go through these lines of wires to light up all these lights. These lights don't light up just because you step down. What kids don't know is there's a battery in your shoe. Okay? Without the battery, or if this battery goes dead, the lights don't light up. Correct? Okay, so let's do a simulation. I have a little electrostimulator, kind of like a taser, but a little bit smaller. So being you're in that field, I thought you could handle this.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to shake the shoe. Okay, did they light up? It wasn't the battery, it was this. Now, how good of a conductor is air of electricity? Conducts it very poorly. Did that one light up? Just this one. Well, this must be a dead shoe. So, if I go 8 inches away, shoe doesn't light up. Got to get pretty close before that shoe lights up. Now, if you'd like to just put your finger on the shoe off your right hand, on. Okay? You don't have to just get that violent. They got to see the thing. You can't cover up the lights. Now give me your other hand. Do you want to try it on me first? All right. How did those shoes light up when I'm over here? Because he's a conductor of electricity. Sister? But what I want to do is I want you to touch the shoe and then you to hold hands with your husband. Think of all the applications, spouses. All right, youth, come on up. All right, looks like they're all spreading this way. All right, you guys have to come back in here again, and you're going to put your hand on the shoe. If you want to hold hands with her, and we'll just go, we'll just stop right here. I'm going to spare you the shock, okay? But I want you guys to be able to see, so I'm going to bring it out. I want you guys to come forward enough so you can see. This is youth leaders, and these are the people that they influence. Sometimes you don't even have to be the person who's touching them. It just flows through. I was at a funeral where 80% of the audience were people who were unbelievers. At the conclusion of the funeral, the Lord said, tell everybody to hold hands. I'm like, it's a funeral, Lord. Yeah, I want them to all cross the aisle and hold hands. I want everybody in this room to hold hands. So, okay, Jesus, if you know what you're doing. And he said, now I want you to hold hands with somebody. And we have maybe 20, 25 apostolics and a crowd of over 100. And he said, pray. And we prayed. You know what was said? By the unbelievers? Did you feel the electricity go through when we did that? Went through everybody's hand. There are people in the church. We had to borrow an apostolic church in a
community 3 hours away where the family was from. There are people in that church today because what happened when we prayed at that funeral. Now, let's get you four. If you want to come right here. I've never done this many people before, but I'll give you a secret. If you ever do this to electric fence, the last guy always gets the shock. So what that means is that you're hardly going to feel anything, and if anybody feels a shock, you'll feel the shock down there. And literally, if I had you just, instead of holding hands, do fingers, you might be able to feel that little shock go through all the fingers, okay? But I'm not sure. I've never had this many people do it before. Nice. Kind of hold. There you go. Now, undeniably, I have never done this many before. Everybody hold hands. Can you turn it just a little bit so I can see? I've got to see this if it works. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. About 30. You felt it? Did it go? No. Did you feel it? He didn't feel it. Make sure you're holding hands nice and tight. Nope. Okay. I'm not sure how far it goes, but I just wanted you to see. Now, youth, you see, when you bring a guest to your youth class, you don't even have to touch them. Youth may be seated. I'm going to keep you here. And even sister, you can go ahead and be seated. To further demonstrate, let's see here. Step back up here to the shoes again. And just touch that shoe. And again, give me your hand. Now what I'd like for you to do is keep your hand. I guess you don't even have to keep your hand. Just drop your hands. But give me this one. Remember, nothing happens. Is he more than 8 inches away from that shoe? He's more than 8 inches away from that shoe. My goodness, I know what the problem is. I got metal between you. How can I do this so people can see? Sister Thompson, you want to come and hold them? Because as long as that metal's between her, it's not going to work. Yeah, but turn them so that, and then you've got to be able to hold them so you're right straight out from his chest. There we go. Come up, look closer. There we go. Six inches back. Six inches. You're going a foot, man. A typical human being in a tennis shoe can light up lights in a tennis shoe 3 to 5 feet away. Why? How does that happen? Because there's an electromagnetic field that goes out of his body. So when, thank you, Sister Thompson, you can go ahead and be seated. And if you just want to stand over here to this side and walk towards me. When you're meeting somebody, your electromagnetic field meets with their electromagnetic field. All 100 trillion cells in his body operate by electricity. And when your field crosses his field, they begin to communicate. That's the reason why You can be busy doing something in a room all by yourself, and all of a sudden you feel somebody's in the room. You see, it's a subconscious thing because your electromagnetic field picked up the presence of another human being. Do you now understand the Holy Ghost advantage? It is every single person you meet could be an opportunity. And you have to understand what you have is greater than what they have. And that the weaker is always going to pivot to the greater. Not because you're greater, because of Jesus in you. Let me see. Sorry. Elder Brother James Stewart. Maybe you remember him, Brother Grant, pastored in Columbus, Ohio. Brother Stewart was also a teacher at the university. And I believe he had a doctorate's degree teaching at the university, I think it was the University of Ohio. While he was teaching at the University of Ohio, the university decided to do a study on the human magnetic field. So Pastor Stewart, he found out that the project manager, whatever the title of this person is who's over these studies, needed guinea pigs, so to speak, needed human subjects to be able to join into the study. And it just dawned on him. He said, I wonder what would happen if I get some of my saints to sign up for that study. So he went to his church and said, hey, the university's doing a study. And this is, we're talking years ago. He said, they're doing a study on electromagnetic fields. I wonder if there's any saints who'd like to go down to the university and say, I'll sign up and let's get a bunch of our saints to sign up for the study. So he did it, and sometime later, people forgot all about it. All of a sudden, the guy who's after the study was complete, he comes back to the other teacher, the professor, and he says to Elder Stewart, he said, I need to talk to you. Oh, really? What about? He said, well, we finally completed that study, and you remember? He said, as we did that, we examined the electromagnetic field and the imaging, the colors and all the things that happens as they read human electromagnetic fields. And he said, we found in our study that there were some people whose were different. And we were like, wonder why this person's is different from that person. And he said, it took us a while to figure out that all the people who were different from all the other were only the people from your church. And he said, can you tell me why? Yes, I can. They have something that the rest of the people don't have. My time is up. Let us stand. Moses argued with God, not argued, but persuaded, if we can say, he pled with God at a time when the children of Israel had violated their covenant. And he pled with God and he said, your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other on the earth. Whatever you do, God, don't leave us. God said, all right, Moses, my presence will go with you. You are different and you are set apart from all the other people on earth. And I'm here today to say that if you do not have this experience, you can't earn it. You just have to yield to the pull and open up. And as you begin to feel it, welcome it. You know, tears might come to your eyes. Don't close back up. Open up further. And it won't be long, and something of power will begin to flood through your life. It is so powerful that the most powerful thing, the king and the ruler of your body, will be overcome, and it's your tongue. And you'll begin to listen, and what you're saying will no longer be your native tongue, but you'll be speaking in a heavenly language. He wants to give you that power to save you from the power of eternal death, give you hope for eternal life. I feel Jesus pulling. I feel your presence, Jesus. We're unworthy of what we feel right now. But I wonder if somebody, maybe it's been a long time since you opened up to that pull, would be brave enough to turn to the person next to him and say, come on, I want to respond to what I'm feeling. Step out and come on down to the front. Jesus is calling. Have you come to Jesus, the end of yourself? I can't, but myself. You've got to reverse the hurt. Jesus is calling. I need you, Jesus. My heart's broken. Come to You're the only healer. The altar, the and His presence is here, and it's drawing, and it's pulling. And He wants to energize every electrode in your body today. Resensitize you to who you are and to what you have in your life. Oh, come to